Chapter 7. Another Buried Secret. Sanara, 2022. It was nearly 5 o'clock when I went to see Martha. Felicity had paid me to keep an eye on her, and I felt bad because I was having fun with the others instead. I made Martha a cup of tea, then told her about Rick and about Holly the maid. "You know how I never meet anyone I like," I said. "But I liked Rick from the moment that I saw him. Then I hated him. I still hate him. But there's something about him. Anyway, he's with Meg, so it's impossible. Will you tell me about Barnaby?"
"I think all the time about the people in my life who I have lost," Martha replied. "My parents, my dear sister Daphne, Violet, and her brother, Aubrey. He died in Scotland a few years after the war ended. And then came Barnaby, who died when I was 50. Next, there was Leon, my son."
She took a deep breath and then said brightly,
"That's why I want to come to the party. It's why I need life in the old house. I want to see young people and a future there. I'll die before all of you."
I felt sad. I knew that her husband, Barnaby, and their only child, Leon, had died, but I had never realised how much she missed them. I put my hand on her arm. Then I said the first thing that came into my head. "Why do you call your mum Violet and not Mum?"
"Because Violet wasn't my mum," said Martha, looking out of the window. "But she was the best friend that I could have. I was evacuated here from London during the war, when I was 10. Being chosen by Violet was the luckiest thing that ever happened to me. Her brother, Aubrey, had shell shock from the First World War."
"Shell shock?" I said. "That's PTSD?
"They're always changing the names of things." Martha took a deep breath. "I have spent most of my life believing that Martha Roberts is a real person, when really, she isn't."
When I went back to the pool, the others were getting ready to go to the beach. "I didn't know that Martha was from London," I said to Clem.
"Yes," she said. "She came here in the war with a suitcase and took the name Roberts. She's not a real Campion Roberts like the rest of us."
"She's your great-grandmother, so of course she's one of you," I replied. "And you're a part of her." I wonder what it was like in Clem's head. She had so much money and was so sure about everything. Nothing worried her, except Martha changing her will. At the beach, Clem and Gareth ran into the water, and Josie and Meg disappeared. Rick stood beside me.
"Sanara, I'm really sorry again," Rick said. "I can't believe how stupid I was."
"Don't worry. We come from different worlds," I said. He looked at me, and I felt my stomach do strange things. I hated him, but I wanted to touch him. I took a deep breath. "How long have you and Meg been together?" I asked.
"That's a strange question," he said. "All our lives."
It took me a moment to understand what he meant.
"We were born at the same time. She's my twin sister," he said.
Now everything was different. The sun was brighter, and I felt the electricity coming off him.
Do you have a girlfriend at home? I asked, trying to stop my voice shaking.
No, he said.
We looked at each other. He started to move towards me.
Sonara! Rick!
Clem shouted at us. We went over to where she sat on the rocks with the others and looked up at Cliff House. My mind went back to January. I really wanted to tell Josie about Rick, but only when we were alone. To stop myself, I whispered the first thing that came into my head.
Remember the drone? You're only friends with Martha because we lost it.
Josie spoke very quietly, but Clem heard.
What made you become friends with Martha?
Oh, nothing, I said.
No, tell me,
Clem said, staring at me.
One minute I'd never heard of you, and the next you're all that Grandma talks about.
Gareth came and sat behind Clem.
Sonara was just telling me how she met Gran, she told him.
She told you about us crashing the drone? He said, surprised.
Before Josie and I could stop him, Gareth was telling Clem everything about the drone and the film that we had made. Clem looked at me. It was only for a few seconds, but it felt much longer. Her face was impossible to read. Then she smiled and said,
"Shall we go home?"
Felicity, 1988. Later that evening, Alex and Jenna came back to Cliff House. Rachel had asked Felicity not to tell them about her dad, so Felicity just said, "Rachel's staying here tonight."
"Me too," said Jenna.
Then the four of them watched a film, but Felicity was not really listening to it because she had so many questions in her head. Did Rachel's dad hit her mother too? Why didn't Rachel's mum do anything? When Felicity went to the toilet, Rachel followed her.
"I'm scared," she said. "My dad's going to be looking for me. He'll be worried that I'm going to tell people what he did."
"We'll look after you here. We'll call the police if we have to. Can I tell Alex?"
Rachel thought for a moment.
"Yes, but only what's necessary. And don't call the police."
"Doesn't your mum stop your dad hitting you?" asked Felicity.
Rachel's voice was almost a whisper.
"She does it too."
"There's a bedroom with a lock on the top floor," Felicity said. "You'll be safe here."
"I'll need to go thousands of miles away, to India or Thailand or Peru," said Rachel.
Then Rachel started talking about Andy. She had met him at the bus stop, and they were planning to go away to Thailand together.
"I hope that he means it," said Rachel.
Sonara, 2022.
"I wish that Gareth hadn't told Clem about the drone," I said to Josie. "She's being strange."
We had left Clem, Gareth, Rick and Meg by the pool and were walking down the garden towards the camellias.
"We've got bigger things to worry about than Clem," said Josie. "She's actually nicer than I expected."
"Did you know that Rick and Meg are twins?" I asked.
"Really?"
Josie's face was like sunshine. My stomach felt strange. I wondered if she liked Rick too. We had reached the camellias and sat down beside the hole that Molly had dug.
"You like Rick, don't you?" said Josie.
I smiled.
Do you like him too? My voice was very small.
Josie laughed.
Me? No!
Anyway, I should go home.
How's your mum? I asked.
She's different, but I'll tell you everything next week.
Josie looked away.
You know, after we lost the drone, I came back here lots of times. It was like my secret garden. But don't tell Clem, or Gareth. He tells Clem everything.
Josie put her hand into the hole and pulled out a stone. Then she reached in again, and this time took out a small bone. I was certain that there were secrets buried here.
There's something else, Josie said.
This time, she reached into the hole with both hands. What she pulled out made me feel sick. It was a skull. It was light brown, like the other bone, and it had big, empty eyes. Then we saw Gareth and Clem walking towards us. Clem screamed when she saw the skull, and Rick and Meg immediately came running down the garden.
You have to tell the police when you find human bones, said Rick. It's the law.
No, we'll wait until Mum gets back. We'll do it after the party, said Clem.
2 more days won't make a difference.
Josie was discovering that holding an empty skull in your hands made you want to live life fully, because one day your own skull would be empty too. Despite everything, Josie realised that she had never been so happy. Meg had a twin brother, not a boyfriend. And Josie's feelings for Meg were the most real thing that she had ever felt. Meg was walking Josie home and then planned to return to Cliff House. But as they walked, Josie could not stop thinking about the horrible skull either. So she told Meg about Rachel Thomas disappearing.
I'm worried that the skull might be hers, Josie said.
By the time they reached Josie's house, they were holding hands. Their little fingers touched, and it was electric. It was everything that Josie had ever wanted. Mum opened the door and invited them inside. She was wearing a dress, not pajamas.
Hello. Nice to meet you. I'm Meg.
I'm Angie,
Mum replied. Mum made them tea, which they took into Josie's bedroom. Josie and Meg sat next to each other on the bed and kissed. Kissing a girl was different. Meg's lips were soft. Her mouth was small. Meg looked at the door.
It's okay, whispered Josie. Mum won't come in. Don't stop.
Martha, 1940. Violet never took Martha to London to see her mother and Daphne. 2 days before they planned to go, a second letter arrived. Now there was no mother, no Daphne, no house. Martha was alone in the world.
Would you like to stay here with me? Violet asked. Yes.
Martha's voice was a whisper.
Then that's what we'll do. We'll be each other's family, said Violet, hugging Martha close.